You're listening to The Voice of Pittsburgh. This is 100.1 FM, AM 1020 News Radio, KDKA. It is Wednesday, January 26th. I'm Larry Richard.
And good morning. I'm Kevin Battle. Larry, it is Wednesday, finally.
Week away from Groundhog Day already.
Oh my gosh, the controversy's building over this. Did you hear the news today?
What controversy?
Can't they use persimmons or apple cores or something like that to predict the spring? Why do they need the... Is it a rat?
No, it's a groundhog.
I know, and what kind of an animal is a groundhog?
It's a mammal. Yeah, it's a mammal, but I can assure you that Phil is well taken care of.
Is it a rodent?
Some may consider it that. Farmers would consider it that.
You're saying he's well taken care of just because you're part of the inner circle.
Well, that is true. So at 8:35, we're going to talk to the president of the Groundhog Club, Jeff Lundy, fair weather man. Everybody has a handle. I forget what mine is. They gave me an honorary Inner Circle member hat, one of those top hats. But I'm going up there. I am the keynote speaker for the Groundhog Dinner.
When is the Groundhog Dinner? Is it the day before or the morning of? Or is it a brunch? What's the deal?
Which coincides with Chinese New Year, the year of the tiger.
Uh-oh.
On Tuesday.
So what happens? I mean, do the two holidays fight it? Do the two pagan holidays fight it out or what?
Excuse me?
I mean,
actually, the roots of Groundhog Day
goes back to the German ancestors.
Candlemas, which is really a religious event, and
correct,
it marks the halfway point of winter.
I forgot about that Candlemas tie in there.
So will there be six more weeks of winter or an early spring? We'll find out.
Right now it's January and it's cold, but it's a very pleasant morning.
You know,
it's not snowing and it's not windy.
I laughed. Antonio, our overnight producer, poor guy, looked like he fell down the steps. He was all discombobulated.
Why?
I don't know. He was tired. He was ready to go home. And I said, are you paying attention? Because the local news stations are doing stories about how to stay warm. He started laughing. Yeah. Every year, you know it's coming.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the warming centers for people who need to seek shelter. I'm just talking about general population. How do you stay warm? Let's ask.
Yeah. You're just talking about the general population who's surprised that January got cold and need to put on a coat.
Let's ask our expert from Montana, anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Did they ever do stories out there about staying warm?
Never.
I knew that was coming.
It was abundantly obvious that you would probably put on a coat. And I was thinking the same thing this morning, Kevin, about the wind. I thought, thank goodness it's not blowing.
Yeah, it's cold, but it's very pleasant. Like the walk, it's cold.
I wouldn't use the word pleasant, but thank God the wind wasn't blowing.
Well, here's one from AccuWeather. Says limit your outdoor activity. It's recommended.
Oh, first they tell us to go outside and enjoy the weather, then they tell us to limit the outdoor activity. What is it?
Again, we knew pretty much that if it was around this temperature, we'd be staying in pretty much all day.
Yeah.
Except to go to the car or the bus.
You could sort of tell by how many times the furnace kicks on in your own home.
Barely shutting off right now.
I know.
Yeah, and gas bills, electric bills are high. Do you see they have gone up substantially?
Oh, yeah, everything raised, what, December 1st, all the utilities were allowed to raise up.
Well, I want to thank Paul Mango, former Deputy Chief of Staff, Health and Human Services, the man at the focal point of Operation Warp Speed development of these vaccines. And, Kevin, you had an extended opportunity to sit down with him yesterday, and we're going to drop that podcast. It's available now. Kevin Battle one-on-one with Paul Mango, former gubernatorial candidate, spent most of his career in the private sector at the high levels of healthcare. West Point grad, Army Ranger, pretty impressive resume, and he spent most of his life with his five daughters and wife here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's amazing. I remember saying when this all started that a cure would be found here in Pittsburgh because of the brain trust that we have in Oakland. I said that, you know, a cure would be found. Little did I know that the logistics of getting that cure to the masses would be from a Pittsburgher. I mean, Paul Mango is an unbelievable story, and we talked extensively about that process from like January when they realized COVID was here to when they got the vaccine into people's arms and just what the logistics entailed. I mean, it was an unbelievable story.
It is too bad. It is really too bad that the national media ignore figures like him. He would be a fascinating story on 60 Minutes or any one of a number of the news programs, and
yes,
they're just not interested.
I did ask him about the media's role in misinformation and politicians' role in some of the misinformation because it was an election year. Asked him about whether President Trump wanted the shot by a certain date, and his answer was great and priceless. I asked him about, he said the intent of the vaccine was not to prevent infection or prevent you from spreading it. It was to prevent you from going to the hospital and prevent you from getting a severe illness, which we've been saying for a long time. But there have been politicians saying, you get that vaccine and you stop that virus.
No,
and that's not what it was intended to do.
Public disservice.
A lot of people knew that and gave us false information.
So January 3rd, 2020, Dr. Robert Redfield, director of the CDC and prevention, we have a problem in China. And so it began officially, and I reached out to Paul Mango last evening because I wanted to follow up. We were focused on his book, Warp Speed, but I wanted to ask him, where do you think we are headed in the future? And here's how he responded. Omicron will most likely burn out in 3 to 4 weeks. The population will largely have acquired immunity by then, either through vaccination or infection or both. We will still need to remain very vigilant as it relates to the most vulnerable, but Americans will finally get back to normal. The new therapeutics will further prevent hospitalization and death, even for those who are most vulnerable. And finally, COVID will become just another form of coronavirus, which we deal with every year. Some will unfortunately die from it, but at no higher incidence than the common flu.
And I
thought that was significant.
And that's sort of been going on, what the prediction has been from many leaders around, scientific community, a virologist.
Really good news, by the way, quickly. Yesterday, Allegheny County had less than 1,000 new cases for the first time in a long time.
Needs to drop. Well, where'd we top out? Like 3,000 plus, almost 4,000?
It was way too high.
It was high. And the FDA yesterday halted the use of many monoclonal antibodies.
Did you see Patrick Mahomes, is it his fiance, was shooting off
with the champagne?
Champagne, and all the people, all the haters saying they were making claims that somehow injured them, and she's upset.
You think people are going to be talking about that today?
No.
Barry Bonds not making the Hall of Fame. There's a topic.
I think one is how to dress properly when it's cold out. Wear a coat, gloves, maybe a hat. Kevin, you look like
I'm warmed up.
You're flanneled up
today.
Got
the flannel and all.
Got layers.
Layers and everything else.
We'll be talking about the cold.
Well, what about, are people going to be talking about, since the ratcheting up to war on the ground didn't take effect, maybe they'll be talking about, Russia's going to attack our power grid now and freeze us out. Think they're going to be talking about that?
No.
What about the halting of monoclonal antibodies by the FDA and the fight against COVID? You think people will talk about that?
Let's see what. 538 News Radio KDKA. Welcome to Wednesday. I'm Larry Richard.
Good morning. I'm Kevin Battle. Hey, Larry, today's poll question, the Pulse of Pittsburgh poll question. Should Punxsutawney Phil be replaced with an animatronic groundhog?
Where is this coming from again now?
We're going to replace another worker?
Where is this coming from?
A blue-collar worker going to be replaced by a machine because an animal rights group says it's cruel and unusual to have the groundhog predict the weather, even though the groundhog is taken care of.
Trust me, the groundhog is probably the best treated mammal in Punxsutawney, Jefferson County, or any county.
Most well treated mammal, meaning any out of anybody.
Any mammal, including us. So, and by the way, on Gobbler's Knob, since this is the early crowd, I can share the secret with you. Inside the stump, the famous stump where they extract Phil and make his prognostication, is a full bed of straw with a 100-watt light bulb in there.
Keeping them warm.
Phil's warmer, even though Phil's got a natural fur coat, which they're against that, too. The fact that Phil's wearing a fur coat.
You got to shave him next?
For a minute, I thought you were going to tell us Phil had a little nippy bottle in there with him.
Well,
he probably
I didn't
want
to say. I can't reveal that.
So we're going to shave Phil when you're up there. That'll be a good stunt. What about this? If he had to live on his own, if he didn't have that cushy condo at the library, if he had to dig into the ground to survive, his life expectancy would be less than 3 years.
And he would be most likely shot by a farmer because they dig up the fields and create these holes that are then problematic.
For the cattle.
Yeah, stuff like that. So, Dr. Kevin Wong wanted to know, what do they serve at the groundhog dinner?
Pork loin.
Chicken.
Chicken.
No, actually, back in the day, they did serve groundhog, but they replaced that now. And we'll ask the fair weather man, Jeff Lundy, the president of the Groundhog Club. He will be with us live at 8:35 because we have the convergence of Chinese New Year and Groundhog Day.
Our forefathers ate pretty much whatever they could.
Whatever you could get at Giant Eagle.
There was no Giant Eagle. Giant Eagle was at the end of a rifle and out in a field somewhere. You had to go find it and package it yourself. It didn't just show up in these nice prepackaged displays. You asked about a few things people would be talking about today, Larry. How about this? How about this? The principal of Brashear High School on paid leave, pending an investigation into the big brawl that broke out there last week. That might be one thing. What about this? Wilkinsburg, that merger with the city of Pittsburgh, not likely going to happen. So city council is looking ahead to other communities that may. What is this merger thing? Why do they want to merge with everybody?
You know what they ought to do? They ought to make, like some other cities do, the entire county the city.
Really? Oh, you want like the entire county to be in the city of Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Nashville did it. Jacksonville's done
it. Yeah, and you know what? We would automatically, population-wise, go back into the top 10.
So this is about increasing the population within the city of Pittsburgh limits to get better federal tax money? Would it also make the city schools look a little bit better?
But it's never going to happen because you've got all these little kingdoms and fiefdoms, and they're not going to give up their power from the little municipalities that make up Allegheny County because they don't want to do that.
Yeah, and well, I mean, if you work hard and you play your cards right, you might be able to move it to a neighborhood that's a little safer, a little more secure, has a better school district. And it's just a stone's throw away from the city that you didn't want to live in.
The entire
Maybe
county would be Pittsburgh.
What about, we'll talk to Teresa Kale Smith. She's a Pittsburgh president of the Pittsburgh City Council coming up at 8:05. And Larry, they're talking about, they're looking into, it's a preliminary investigation into possibly merging with Penn Hills, maybe Greentree, maybe Crafton, maybe Baldwin or Brentwood, maybe Dormont, Swissvale, Homestead, Edgewood. Those are among the
Well, why not Wilkinsburg, then?
And that's why I was going to ask Kevin earlier. How did you know that it's off for sure?
Well, they think that it's... I didn't say off for sure.
Well,
I
it sounded likely. To me like it's not going to happen.
You said likely not happening.
Not happening because the quote was in the Trib Live, was that... And the president of the council, Teresa Kale Smith, will be on to talk to us about that. The earlier proposal to annex Wilkinsburg, according to the Trib Live, is expected to be voted down as Kale Smith last week introduced legislation to deny the measure.
Okay, thank you. That's new news to me and significant, I might add.
Yeah.
I would think there'd be enough synergies where it would be attractive to, it would help Wilkinsburg a lot. It would help the people that live there because of the tax base that they've got going, and it would spur, I would imagine, some construction, and it would, you know, Wilkinsburg could use the help.
Wilkinsburg needs a bump, but the folks there are fiercely independent. They like their independence. I got to talk to a few of them last summer when we went down there with a breakfast with Battle deal. So they want to remain independent, but they're really not independent because I think their schools go sort of one, you know, you go to the high school, your fire department, your trash collection, all part of the city.
Whatever happened to Breakfast with Battle?
They wanted me to do podcasts instead. So I started doing a podcast.
Well, maybe we can come up with something else.
Okay, I got something else. How many times do you say, Alexa, can you do this or that? Do you say that a lot?
Not very often, no.
Coming up after 6 o'clock, I will stun you with what Alexa knows about you.